Last time we talked to you, you were doing a fundraiser.
Yes, give a little.
How did it work out?
Oh gosh, yeah. It was a bit of a roller coaster ride for us.
Or an emotional roller coaster.
Yeah, it is a little bit, but yeah, really exciting. So we and I might have mentioned this already. Like we had an opportunity to be part of this campaign called Generosity Generator, and yep. It was an organisation that basically helps other organisations do good crowdfunding campaigns.
Right.
And so we kind of went on this kind of workshop journey with 38 other charities, I think, a lot of them in Auckland, and mostly kind of that charities that work for social change and not environmental focus.
Yeah.
So I think we were only one of two or something that did an environmental focus.
Now, you're actually really good at getting funds for Kaurio projects. Like a lot of people employed, and you've probably learned quite a lot over the last few years, but
yeah.
Did you learn more stuff?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I guess most of the fundraising we've done is grant funding.
Yeah.
So we've had lotteries and regional council and DOC and, you know, Well Energy Trust and Trust Waikato and Patagonia and all sorts of, you know, funders come along, and that's been great. And some of them are still with us, but some of them have a short term, you know, they might fund you for 3 years and no more after that, or 1 year at a time. So it's really hard to plan.
Yeah.
And like you say, the team's growing. So we have raised over the last 10 years about 1.5 million for Kaurioi and for the work that's been done there. And that includes our education program. But, you know, like, yeah, this was just another. We're trying to diversify our funding.
Yeah.
Because if we only rely on grants, and there's very few available at the moment, we'd have to pretty much just about close up shop.
Right. You certainly were looking at having to maybe lose some.
Oh, yeah.
Lose some staff hours anyway.
Yeah. We kind of, I guess, I mean, you have these moments when funds run out where you feel like your back's against a wall. And we were kind of looking at our forecasting budgets and thinking, oh, we might get through to halfway through the year. And then we're going to have to cut staff.
Yeah.
And now we've probably pushed it out to the end of the year. So it's good from the different funds that we've raised. So obviously crowdfunding hasn't been the only one. So we've done this generosity generator. So basically they kind of mentor you through the process and say, hey, let's teach you everything we know so you don't make the mistakes that we did.
Yeah.
So just, you know, if people are wondering what that means, is like they encourage you to make that a little video. You know, just talking about what you do and showing. So we made a little video,
yeah.
And well, someone helped us do it and did an amazing job. And then, you know, they kind of help you tell your story. So the way you tell your story in a grant funding application is really different from how you might approach someone on the street.
Oh, yes.
You know,
yes.
So the language you use. And then also we don't usually bombard people with emails and social media like every couple of days, you know, saying, you know, come and support us, donate, you know, so all that doesn't feel very natural for us. And Jasmine led some of this work and support from, you know, a few of us on the team, and she did an amazing job. But also it really pushes you out of your comfort zone, because you're saying, you know, approaching businesses, approaching individuals, putting it on your own social media, like, so it's so confronting. And for some people it might be like, oh no, that'd be easy. Well, if you think this is easy, like, please come and see me, because we'd love to hear from you.
Yeah.
But we found this incredibly challenging, and although we know it's a good cause, and of course we want people to get behind the cause, it was also really challenging on a personal level. And I guess the response we then got was just a really beautiful pat on the shoulder, and a kind of like, oh, we're on the right track, because we did get an amazing response from the community.
Because we didn't say, did you reach your goal or anything? We
haven't
mentioned that yet.
That was another thing. So when we went through one of our mentoring sessions, the guy said, oh, how much do you want to raise? And I was kind of like, well, do I tell him all the money we need or just a little portion of it? So I kind of went, 20,000? And he said, why do you think you can raise that much? And I was kind of like, oh my gosh, we have 130 volunteers. Like, we've got this community that brings their kids to our after school programs. We work in the school. Surely we can raise $20,000. And so I suddenly felt all like, oh, maybe I'm being too optimistic.
Yeah.
And then I was like, no, we can do it. 20,000. And so he said, okay, let's give it a go. And we made it.
So was he skeptical, or was he just kind of, that was the process to challenge
you
to think
about? No, he was skeptical.
Yeah?
Yeah, he did a bit of a calculation based on our number of followers and how many people on our email, you know, e-news list and that kind of thing. So I guess he had a little bit of a calculation that he used.
Yes, yeah.
And also because we're a more regional, local project, not a national project, so you don't go out, you know, out of your borders as much as, yes, you know, a national organisation might. So,
and our population base is not huge.
No, no, no. And we already have some really generous families that support that might not necessarily support a Give a Little campaign, you know, because they're already supporting in other ways.
Yeah,
But we made it, so, yeah.
Are people still, is money still trickling in?
Yeah, a few people have contacted us and said, oh, we didn't get around to donating, can we still donate? And we're like, yes, of course. Yeah, so it was really nice. And actually, you know, we kind of started off with a bit of a bang and made a couple of thousand in the first few days. And then we had a few amazing businesses come along and do match funding. And that, yes, really got great responses.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it really, because I think people feel like they, you know, and they do, they get bang for their buck. It's like, oh, if I donate $20, then they'll get,
yeah,
40.
Yeah.
And, so that was awesome, getting the business support. And we've actually since had people also say, oh, I've got a business. I wouldn't have minded being a match funder. So I was like, oh, that's really nice to hear.
We'll keep you up their sleeve, yeah, for next time.
Mm, definitely.
So off the top of your head, can you say who the businesses were that were doing
Wainui Environmental, yeah, and then there was, oh gosh, now you're putting me on spot.
I know, that's what I was worried about. We missed one at Rouse. Did I see Raglan Chocolate on your Facebook?
Yes, sorry, Raglan Chocolate, yes. Yes. And they've already committed to the project anyway for their 1% for the planet.
Yes, yes.
Which is awesome.
That'll be long time supporters.
And then there was an electric company, sorry, I don't think, I know the person, it was a personal contact of Jasmine's, and I can't. Just, oh, I'm so sorry.
So email me later and we'll give them a shout out.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, yeah, definitely give them a shout out. Yeah. It's just sitting in my head. Sorry, I should have had it on a list on my hand.
And I was worried that if I did this that I'd put you on the spot, but I thought I'll do it anyway.
Brett Wood, the mortgage broker.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah. He was a match funder as well. And I think that was, there was four or five of them. Yeah.
And so what does it mean that you've raised that funding? What does it mean for the organisation this year?
Yep, so that will go into our track cutting and predator control budget. So it was to increase the number of hectares that we could cover.
Yeah.
So we're looking at, hopefully DOC will come along and give us some funding as well, which comes out of their general local budget for track cutting, and then this will kind of add to it. So it means that we can probably, on that kind of money, we can probably cut another 60 or 70 hectares.
Okay.
Yeah, which doesn't sound that much, but, you know, it's quite a, you know, chunk of work again, because it adds to other chunks of money that we get. So every 20 or 30,000 actually goes a long way.
So when you say that many hectares, does it, I mean, you're not cutting the whole thing down, obviously. That would be stupid.
No.
But the track, there's a track line cut every so often?
So we're setting up this bait station.
Apart, yeah, 500 metres, 200 metres apart?
No, they're 100 metres apart.
Okay.
So we're setting up a bait station network, which so we can fill the bait station and do ground control several times a year, which will really bring back that forest bird life, but it'll also help for the oi and everything that's out there, really, all the bird life. Because you can target, you know, the different species you want to target. So we might target possums or rats or both. At various times of the year.
Yep.
So the bait station's lines are set up every 100 metres apart, and then there's a bait station every 50 metres.
So if you look at a map of the mountain and the forested area, how many, if you do and you put lines every 100 metres across it, how many lines are you having?
Oh, a lot.
That's what I'm thinking.
Oh, it's massive. So we basically have from if you look at the mountain from town, so you've got the Millwood Farm, so that's right next to, like, Upper Wainui Road.
Yeah.
And if you look up there and then go right to the top and then come right across towards the east, we've got pretty much 700 hectares there already covered, and we're aiming for 1,000, if not the whole mountain. But we'll revise, you know, we'll review depending on funding. So we kind of trying to get about 1,000 hectares covered, which will give, you know, a massive boost for biodiversity.
And also one of the outcomes of getting the funding, of course, is that you don't have to let staff go or anything like that.
Well, that's right, yeah. So, I mean, there's a, you know, dual purpose to all the workers that we've got you know, our young guys working on the mountain just love what they do, and they're a kind of next generation of kaitiakis. So we want to create employment in conservation in our community and inspire, you know, young people to get into that field of work. And of course also our education program. You know, we've got hundreds of kids coming through our programs every year that are learning about trapping and learning about biodiversity and why we want to restore biodiversity and also how it contributes to mitigating for climate change. So there's so many, you know, purposes to what we do. So, so all that money contributes to all that and that bigger vision.
And I was just popped into my head, is the after-school program happening?
Yeah, Karioi Kids and Karioi Rangers are on again Tuesday and Wednesday night.
Okay.
Fully booked again.
It's too late now.
Yeah, so we're running slightly smaller numbers, so we just take a van load, so it's 9 kids.
Yeah.
We do talk about expanding the program, but again, at the moment, we've got funding to run that. So
Families do pay a bit,
yeah,
but so they've also got funding in the background.
Yeah, so the money they pay is only about a quarter of what it costs per child. Yeah. So costs, you know, obviously our staff time and everything costs a lot more than what the kids pay, but that's it's environmental education and we want to give that opportunity to every kid in the community.
Yeah. And obviously the long term benefits of enthusiastic young people for the environment are pretty clear.
Yeah. And we get a little crew of kids often that come through and they'll come back year after year. Sometimes they have a break for a term and then they come back again. But, you know, we've seen kids come through right from, you know, 7, 8 years old and then come into our Manaaki Hour program in the Raglan Area School and then go on to do jobs and environmental work, you know, afterwards. So that's pretty exciting that we're kind of starting to see that journey.
Yeah. Do you think that funding situation will change again, like money to sort out issues around COVID has been diverted by a lot of funders for obvious reasons, but that hopefully is over now?
Well,
there's still things happening, but you know, one of the things that happened was that initially it was the funding organizations that supplied money, and then the government caught up and MSD started doing a lot of things. I was talking to funders yesterday. So like Well Energy Trust put aside a lot of money in 2020 to help, and in 2021 they put aside some, but they didn't use all of it because MSD had come on board and the government had got organized.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm hoping that money will come back to you guys.
Yeah, so we've actually had a bit of support from MSD ourselves.
Right.
It's a kind of continuity fund.
Yes.
To just support us to keep, you know, paying our team.
Yeah.
So that's really great. So that was another little bit of chunk of funding that's going to help us. Also, I met with the Minister of Conservation last week.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Who is the Minister of Conservation?
Kitty Allen.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that was really awesome. She's an awesome woman. And so I went there with Taruku Thompson from Tokutoku Marae and Maharu. And we had a really great chat to her and kind of just hopefully put Karioi and the Torupatu wetland and that kind of landscape scale kind of restoration that we're trying to achieve on the map for her. And told her what, you know, we were hoping to achieve together. And, so it's exciting. So we're going to meet with Doc a bit more and see what comes out of that conversation. But she was super supportive. She knows the Raglan community and a lot of the people that we're already working together with.
Yep.
And
that's good because she's from the East Coast, isn't she?
Yeah, she's from the Gisborne area. But she, her and also her... the secretary that was with her, some of them whakapapa back to here.
Awesome.
So that was a pretty awesome conversation and really bit of an honour to kind of get the invitation.
Yeah, and how did that even happen?
Because she was just doing a bit of a tour and of the Waikato and visiting different projects. It's probably a follow-up from the Jobs for Nature Fund.
Yeah.
We didn't actually receive Jobs for Nature, but the doc staff had kind of, you know, she said she wanted to meet people from the community, working at a community level, and the doc staff kind of, you know, invited us to come along.
Right. Oh, that's good. That's what a minister needs to do, eh? Needs to get in.
Yeah.
Get out and get the
boots
on the
ground. She's really, really passionate and a real, I think, a bit of an action woman. And yeah, just and very, you know, very easy to talk to, and it was great kind of going there together with Taruki and that.
So, yeah, oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, before we go, we should just check in with what the life cycle of the oi. Where are they at? Are they getting ready for breeding? Or I've got no idea.
Yeah,
I could have said something stupid right then.
No, that's a great question, because we were just out last night. Did a little bit of a scope on the coastline just to see if they're coming in.
Yeah,
because we've had such quiet, you know, mellow weather, and they like to bring, you know, come in on the winds.
Yeah.
But it was no moon, and yeah, so we had them flying in. So as soon as we kind of, you know, went up the steps onto the bush edge kind of by the coast.
Yeah.
We could hear them straight away coming in, and hear them chirping away, flying, sweeping across. One came like right close to my head.
Right.
And yeah, so that was exciting to see. Yeah, so they're coming in to breed now. So they, you know, catch up with their mates.
Yes.
And they breed, and then they'll go back out to sea, and then they'll lay their eggs in July. So we're prepping. Very much prepping, doing lots of camera monitoring, lots of predator control.
July is really not that far away now.
No. A
couple of months.
Yeah. So we've got plenty of work to do.
Yeah. Mm. Well, that's awesome. That's good to hear that it's all happening the way it should be.
Yeah. It's really exciting. Yeah. It's definitely felt like we had some big challenges at the start of the year, and it's exciting to kind of see both the community response in terms of fundraising, but also just everything else coming together, and people coming, you know, alongside and supporting, and gives us lots of encouragement and enthusiasm to keep doing what we're doing.
Yeah. Awesome. All right, yeah. Crystal, thanks heaps for coming in.